Stay tuned for more Jazz America with me, Russ Davis, right after the news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. The U.S. government on Monday will begin the process of notifying individuals affected by a massive cyber attack on the agency, which collects background information and issues security clearances for millions of U.S. government employees. VOA's Pam Dawkins has details.
Some officials and analysts say they believe China-based hackers with possible links to the country's government are behind the attack that has targeted the personal information of as many as 4 million current and former federal government workers. At the White House, spokesman Josh Earnest stopped short of assigning blame.
I can't get into any conclusions that have been reached about who or what country may be responsible for this particular incident.
He added that the administration took seriously the need to defend federal security networks from cyber intrusions such as this one. Pam Dawkins, VOA News, the State Department.
United Nations urging all sides in the Ukraine conflict to fully respect the ceasefire agreement reached earlier this year. It issued the call as top U.S. defense officials and diplomats met Friday at the headquarters of the U.S. European Command to review the effectiveness of economic sanctions against Russia and NATO's strategy in deterring further Russian actions in Ukraine. United Nations top human rights official says he's deeply concerned that no action has been taken over allegations that African Union peacekeepers killed 11 people in the Central African Republic last year. The Central African Republic was hit by sectarian violence more than a year ago when the Christian militia was formed to combat the mostly Muslim rebels who had taken control of the country. This is VOA News. U.S. general who serves as the air commander in the war against the Islamic State has placed blame solely on the militants for any civilian casualties that occurred during a recent U.S. strike on a bomb factory for the Islamic State, also referred to as Daesh. VOA's Carla Babb has our report.
Just days after witnesses of a coalition airstrike in Ouija said the strike flattened an entire area and killed dozens of civilians, Coalition Air Commander U.S. Lieutenant General John Hesterman told reporters Friday the strike involved a very disciplined targeting process. He says the U.S. dropped a very small weapon on the bomb factory, which, due to what was inside, led to a massive secondary explosion.
Let's be clear. What did the damage was the huge amount of high explosives that Daesh intended to turn into murderous weapons.
At least one of these air attacks caused the death of civilians, including children. Carla Babb, VOA News, the Pentagon.
Man in the U.S. state of Texas has been sentenced to almost 7 years in prison for planning to join the militant group Islamic State in Syria. 24-year-old Michael Todd Wolf, who called himself Farouk, was sentenced Friday in a federal court in Texas for attempting to provide material support to a designated terrorist organization. Wolf had arranged to meet with an FBI undercover employee who he believed would help him travel to Syria, where he planned to join the militants. Wolf pleaded guilty to the charges against him. The death toll from the capsized ship in China rose to 331 today as disaster teams searched the now upright vessel for more bodies, making it China's deadliest boat disaster in nearly seven decades. The boat had more than 450 people aboard, many of them elderly tourists, for a cruise from Nanjing to the southwestern city of Chongqing when it capsized on Monday. 14 people survived. A Pakistani police official says 8 of the 10 men convicted and jailed for an attack on the Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai for her activism for female education have been freed. In April, Pakistani officials said the 10 men had been found guilty of the planning and execution of the attack on Malala and were sentenced to at least 25 years in prison. These were the first convictions in the 2012 attack on Malala, who was 14 years old when she was shot on her way home from school in the Swat Valley. She survived, was airlifted for treatment to Britain, where she now resides. Pakistani Taliban group claimed responsibility for the attack and said it would target Malala again if she ever returned to Pakistan. You can get more news by going to our website. You can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Russ Davis here. Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with brand new NEA jazz master George Coleman. Coming up this hour here on VOA's Jazz America. Yes, the man from Memphis, Tennessee, saxophonist George Coleman, inducted into the NEA Jazz Masters. And I know he was thrilled with this honor. We'll talk to him about his wonderful career, hear his music, coming up later this hour here on Jazz America. Also want to pay homage to a couple of NEA Jazz Masters with birthdays this week. Anthony Braxton, who has a birthday on the 4th of June, and the great pianist Kenny Barron, who was born in 1943 on the 9th of June. Happy birthday to those two great NEA Jazz Masters. Now to begin this hour, we pay homage to the passing of another of the fine musicians and arrangers in jazz today, Bob Belden. He was born in October of 1956 in Charleston, South Carolina, and he died at the age of 58 of a heart attack on the 20th of May in New York City. People thought of him as a wonderful player, but mostly as an arranger and as a producer of other people's work. He assisted with Columbia Records' Miles Davis reissue program, and he worked with various artists on the Blue Note record label, and a lot of his work was in transforming pop music into jazz. He also worked after graduating from University of North Texas, one of the great centers for jazz study in the United States of America, with the likes of Woody Herman's Orchestra, Donald Byrd, the Mel Lewis Orchestra, Red Rodney, and others. He was heavily influenced by Gil Evans, who was a fantastic arranger, and as I mentioned, took lots of pop artists' music and turned it into jazz, including the music of Sting, Prince, and, in the case of what you're just about to hear, Carole King. From the album Tapestry, his jazzified version of Carole King classics, here's the late Bob Belden with Smack Water Jack, as we remember him to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America.
Thank you. the very electric and very modern side of the music of Bob Belden, along with trumpeter Tim Higgins, his longtime friend and associate. They formed a duo that they called Animation, and from their album entitled Transparent Heart, that's the song Provocatism. Hope you enjoy the music of the late Bob Belden. This is Russ Davis, and once again, congratulations to National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master for 2015, George Coleman. Let's enjoy more conversation with him and more of his wonderful music here on VOA's Jazz America. We've talked to a lot about a lot of the different folks that you played in the bands of as a young man. And getting older as time goes on, somewhere down the line, it came time for George Coleman to be the leader. Talk about that.
Okay. Well, in 1974, I put together this octet of one trumpet, four saxes, two tenors, baritone, and alto.
Mm.
And that started in Dexter Gordon's widow, Maxine Gordon, and another friend of mine. They were instrumental in giving me some gigs because he was with an organization called Jazzmobile. I'm sure you've heard about
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, Dr. Billy Taylor.
Where all the guys would go around on these floats during the summer and play for the people in the neighborhoods.
Beautiful.
It was a great experience. Mm-hmm. I think it's still going on.
It is.
It's still there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
But during that time, you know, it was really at its highest peak. Billy Taylor was the founder, I think he was. When he said, okay, I got these dates that you wanted, and I hadn't written one note of music. This was a concept. I had, conceptually, I said, well, I would like to do some arrangements for this new band with the one trumpet, one brass, and four saxes, four reeds. So he said, well, I got the first date is on blah, blah, blah. And it was about 2 weeks away. I didn't have one note of music.
I better write some tunes.
Oh, man, I got busy. And I think at first we had maybe about four songs, sketches, you know, of songs. Hmm. Not real full arrangements. Because my octet was a book that consisted of just some solos. You know, this was the whole concept of my octet. Everybody was great soloists.
Hmm.
Rhythm section was great soloists. All the saxophones, the trumpet player, everybody in the band, bass player, everybody was a soloist.
Harold Mayburn in that band?
Harold is a member now.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we first started out, I think he was in the band. I think he started the octet too. Yeah. Mm. Then I've had other people play in it, you know.
Well, the program Jazzmobile that helped George Coleman put his first band together that you just heard him talk about was a program in New York City. And here's some music made in New York City all about New York City with George Coleman on the tenor and alto sax and his good friend he mentioned on piano, Harold Mayburn, from the album Manhattan Panorama on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. Well, you just heard a taste of the brand new release from the master guitarist Al Di Meola. His new release is entitled Elysium, and from that, hope you enjoyed the song entitled Babylon. Once again, Al Di Meola giving us just a little bit of a world music influence, and he's been majoring on the acoustic guitar most recently. Well, now he's blending acoustic and electric guitar and touring the world, revisiting some of his earlier classics like Casino and Elegant Gypsy and other electric albums of the past. So look for Al Di Meola coming to a concert hall near you. And listen for more of our conversation with NEA Jazzmaster George Coleman and more of his music coming up as well. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a recent message I received, which reads as follows. Hi, this is Zelalem Getahun from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. I'm listening to you now. Wow, I like it. I want to listen to Albert King, the King of the Blues. Would you play it for me? Well, Getahun, I would be happy to play some blues jazz for you if I can. Albert King is more of a pure pop blues musician, and we deal more in the instrumental jazz side of things here. But I think I can take care of a couple of items here, play something that's bluesy for you, and also for those who love classic jazz, play something that is absolutely one of the most famous songs ever in the jazz idiom. It is by Oliver Nelson from his album Blues and the Abstract Truth. It's his classic Stolen Moments. I'll dedicate it to you, Getahun, and invite everyone to enjoy this song and celebrate the birthday of Oliver Nelson, born on the 4th of June in 1932. Here's his classic Stolen Moments on VOA's Jazz America. I've talked to a lot of people about why Stevie Wonder hasn't just done a full-blown jazz album over the years. And everybody seems to say the same thing. Why would he need to do a jazz album of his own when so many people have taken his songs and turned them into jazz already? Stevie Wonder's classic, I Can't Help It, just one of the many versions of that one done by the great jazz bassist and vocalist Esperanza Spalding from her album Radio Music Society. Time to turn now for more conversation with George Coleman one of the three musicians inducted into the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Masters in 2015. Let's hear more of his comments and then hear more of his music here on VOA's Jazz America. As we talk about the two NEA Jazz Masters for 2015 making their move from Memphis, Charles Lloyd moving to Los Angeles, and George Coleman moving to Chicago. I think people around the world would be surprised at some of the other cities that have great scenes. I was just in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago and talk about the folks from there, too. You can name all the cities, especially up and down the Mississippi River. Now, Speaking of which, the migration, Charles decided as a young man he wanted to go to USC in Los Angeles.
Right.
So he goes this way, and George Coleman goes this way to Chicago. And what took you there?
Well, I had heard about all these phenomenal musicians in Chicago, Johnny Griffin, Gene Ammons, and it seemed to me that that was the place to be if you really wanted to get involved in jazz. And during that time, music was 24 hours a day. That was a place called Swingland, who were formerly known as the Cotton Club.
Mm.
And, of course, it was Ahmad Jamal there playing at the Pershing Room.
Wow.
You know, you used to hear him. And then I had a gig that started at 6 a.m. in the morning, right adjacent to the Pershing Room. And it would go to about 2 or 3. And then when I first got to Chicago, there was a jam session that was hosted by Johnny Griffin. And the gig started there at like 4 or 5 in the morning. It started at 4 or 5, usually when the clubs are concluding. You know, this was just starting.
Oh my goodness.
We had a great time, and I had one most magnificent experience there on the same stand with Johnny Griffin and so many others. And Sonny Stitt would come through, of course.
Wow. How many years did you spend in Chicago, you think?
You know, strangely enough, it felt like I'd been there for 20 years. But so we're looking at 56, 57, 58. That was it. That was it. 58, I left and joined Max Roach.
Well, you know, this
great player.
This could be a great jazz movie, and it certainly should be a book if it isn't already. Have your memoirs come out yet? They need to.
Well, you should write it. I mean, you know the history, and you know.
Not as much as you do,
but,
sir.
But you know,
lived it, see.
You need to
quote it and then have somebody transcribe it.
But there's a lot of stories, man.
Oh, man, there are.
a lot of stories.
And look, I
was involved in a few, some X-rated, so I can't go into, you know,
well,
some
that's,
of my cases.
That's for the book and the movie.
Well, but anyway, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you. I hope I gave you some insight into some of the things, but there's thousands more.
They're
loaded.
Well, the joy of it is jazz is just like life. It just keeps on going on. It never stops. And it's going to go on today with the induction of you, Carla Bley, and your old friend Charles Lloyd into the NEA Jazz Masters for 2015. Have a wonderful day today, and thank you, sir, for all your artistry.
Thank you, man.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And here's more George Coleman music from the album from 1992 titled At Yoshi's. Here's the song Io on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Chick Corea, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
From his 1968 classic album, What a Trio, with Chick Corea on piano, Miroslav Vitus on the bass and Roy Haynes on the drums. Now He Sings, Now He Sobs, the name of that classic album, and the song Samba Yantra. This is Russ Davis. Thanks for joining me for our celebration of George Coleman, NEA Jazz Master. And next week, we'll celebrate the 74th birthday of the living legend and NEA Jazz Master himself, Armando Anthony Chick Corea. We just heard a taste of his music. We'll have conversation with him next week and hear lots of his wonderful music over the decades. That's next week on Jazz America. And this is Russ Davis, your host, hoping you'll join me then.